Welcome to News from the Breach. We're your hosts, Kaylee.
And Yana.
So, we're in book 4, Earth, and we're talking about chapter 5, The Great Gates, and chapter 6, The Drakewood.
Exactly.
As usual, I will read my synopses, which are very short this time, and then get into the meaty bit. So, chapter 5, The Great Gates. Our heroes travel to Umbertor to meet the archdragon, Rex Igneous. When they find the entrance blocked, they must search the uncharted forest for another way in. Sorin tries to intervene in some animal cruelty and gets captured. Meanwhile, the homunculus leads Viren and Claudia on a wild goose chase. And chapter 6, The Drakewood. Our heroes search for Sorin in the Drakewood and run into trouble with Earthblood elves. At Karim's insistence, Janai decides Lucia's fate.
Dum dum dum.
Very short this time. Yeah. Sorry, didn't have enough time to prepare a longer one.
Yeah, that's okay. A lot going on again. And in the first chapter, the fifth chapter, we have 3 parts we can discuss.
Yeah, we've got the heroes, we've got Clary and Viren, and we've got Luxoria.
Exactly. And the heroes I would call Dragang.
The Dragang.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So, the Dragang, they're at the Storm Spire. They're having a funeral for Ibis, and Callum uses Sepultura Kaelo, which are draconic words. And he uses Ibis's staff to do the magic.
Ah, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't recognize it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought he just uses his finger.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. He draws the rune like usual, but he's using Ibis's staff.
Okay, wow.
And from this point on, he's carrying Ibis's staff around, so I guess...
Okay, I didn't have... I should have looked closer, yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ibis is, like, covered in a blanket, and they do the spell.
Yeah, it's by the way, it's burial in the sky, so if you translate the spell.
Ah.
And the spell turns a dead body into a flock of birds.
There we go. And that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah. But the blanket was also covered with flowers and petals, rose petals or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it was really...
Really hard for them.
Moving.
Yeah.
And there were bluebirds that came out as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and Ibis was all blue and stuff. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, nice that Ibis has now become these other little flying beings.
Completely fitting.
Yeah. And the birds fly away.
Yeah. And then we have a bit of history that Rayla also leapt to death on this platform. And Callum tried to save her. By spreading his wings. But this history bit is a little bit also set for Callum. And they really can't talk because there's a meeting shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
So still not resolving their issue. We are still in the middle of their relationship struggle.
Yeah. Raylum drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they're not managing to resolve it because... Ding, ding, ding.
Meeting time.
Exactly. And Sorin has a little deja vu because he's interrupted them before with a ding, 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 but it was the ding, ding, ding battle bell in the last episode of season 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then I think we have a little bit of Avatar reference because it's all connected. And this reminded me of the beautiful scene with the huge tree and Avatar Aang saying something about everything is connected, spiritual wise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's you know, too big, what I'm just saying, but yeah, it reminded me of this.
But which bit? With the funeral or the funeral?
No, everything is connected, as said Subeya, in the cave. Again, with the mirror and errors and them trying to find out everything, and maybe also she knows about Claudia and Rirun, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is all connected for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the Avatar universe, you know, everything is connected.
Yeah. And there's also Claudia's bracelet lying around in the cave.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Soren's like, they're talking about who's trying to free Erebos.
Yeah.
And Soren says, it's my sister, and he seems to be doing some really smart kind of detective work. But yeah, the bracelet is a big giveaway for sure.
And did we get introduced to Rex Ignis before?
No, this is the first time, I believe. Yeah.
So also not in the history of Subeya telling about the Archdragons?
No, we saw Rex Ignis as one of the dragons, but we didn't know his name at that point.
Yeah, he's the Archdragon of Earth, and they want to find him before Claudia does it.
Yeah.
To solve one of the riddles. And Sim is not allowed to go with them. He has to stay. Because Subeya doesn't want to lose him also.
Again,
Again, or also, you know, with Ibis
happening, true.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, keep your loved ones close.
Exactly. But then she flies away.
But then she flies away. Keep your loved ones in a safe
spot. Alone.
That only got attacked by a massive army of monsters quite recently. But yeah, sure. Sim, stay here by yourself where no one can look after you. I'll be back soon.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so then they go on the dragon ride to the place, and we get a nice moment of everybody sleeping apart from Soren and Subeya, obviously, because she's flying.
Yeah.
And they have a nice chat, and I really like Zubeya's wings as well. You notice in the scene it's done really beautifully, and she's got like these kind of bright blue veins like going through. She's very pretty.
Yeah. And also the nice compliments of her to Soren, because he was already funny when he was introduced to Subeya, and now he's again funny by saying something like, this human elves, dragons, we are Dragang.
Yeah.
And, but he is not the court jester, nope, he is the head crown guard or Asun guard. So Asun is in good sense, or Sim also, if your sword is as sharp as your wit.
Then the king is in good hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the prince.
And Sauron's like, thank you, dragons are so nice. Yeah. Which is true so far.
Yeah,
it's a really lovely moment with them. And
also, again, the nice development of Sauron being completely different than his sister and father.
Yeah, true. Yeah, he was saying as well, the start of their conversation was, it's really nice to be on the good side.
True, true.
Okay, and then we get to Umber Tor, the great mountain of the east. And Ez knocks on the door, because why not?
It's so funny. You know, this huge door.
Yeah.
And then tiny Ezra.
Tiny, tiny Ezra.
And then if he knocks, and it sounds like a big knock, you know, like...
Yeah.
Wow.
More than you'd like, think.
Dum, 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 and nothing happens.
True. And then we get introduced to Terbium and Chet as their names. I don't think they say it, actually.
Yeah, no, I didn't write them down. I just wrote down Big Guardians or Doormen.
Yeah, and when they're kind of emerging out of the rocks and stuff, Zubeya protects the crew with her wings, which is nice. And the Guardians explain that Rex Ignis is not accepting visitors, but the Dragon Queen demands that they open up. So they open it up, and lots of stones tumble out. Again, Zubeya protects the team with her wings, and all the Terbium and Chet Chert, or Chert, managed to say is that, oh, those weren't there 80 years ago, the last time they tried to open the door.
Yeah.
But there is another entrance, a back entrance, which is small enough for tiny and squishable creatures
mm-hmm.
to use.
But not dragon-sized.
But not dragon-sized uh-huh. creatures.
And it's deep inside the Dragon Quakewood, and it's...
in the Uncharted Forest,
yeah.
which I think is the Drakewood.
Yeah, Drakewood deep within the Uncharted Forest. But there's also no map for it.
Yeah, because it's Uncharted.
Yeah. And we get the advice that they shouldn't annoy the grumpy monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is Rex or Ignis.
Yeah, it's kind of a long-winded
yeah.
thing that they do. Yeah. But yeah, don't annoy him or he will kill you.
And put you into lava or something.
Definitely. So they head off into the Uncharted Forest and Sorin's being very positive. He's like, can you smell that? The smell of adventure. And so Rayla's being a bit grumpy and he says, excuse me for trying to put a bit of pep in our step.
Exactly. Yeah. He also said something about adventuring spirits and songs.
Mm-hmm.
Not only smells.
Yeah, okay. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
And yeah, then they decide to split up. Rayla and Sorin go one way and Ez and Callum go the other. But Rayla's pretty disappointed. She was hoping for some Raylum time, I think. And it's like you said, they have a lot of unresolved stuff going on. And it would have been maybe a good opportunity to talk, but Callum's not ready.
Yeah.
And then Rayla and Sorin are walking alone, and Sorin tries to do some therapy with Rayla and kind of just explains that Callum's been really hurt and really sad and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of messy the way he does it, but it's very cute. And he says, the heart do what it do or it don't what it don't. And Rayla's like, what? What?
But also, sometimes you need to time to work through the weird, and then it will work out. Or not.
Or not.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. It's good. He's encompassing everything yeah. that could happen. It's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really nice. He's trying to help. Yeah, and then they hear this dragon being tortured and see this dragon trainer
kind of kid
with a drake, and Rayla doesn't want to have anything to do with it. We can't save everyone, Sorin, she says, and walks away.
Yeah, and Sorin should follow her.
Yeah, but he can't because he's on the good side now.
He's in the good side now. Yeah.
Then he obviously stays and fights with the guy, and it's quite a dramatic fight scene, like it's animated in a very dramatic way.
Yeah.
And ends with Sorin saying, you've won, and look what you've won, and smashes him in the face with a gourd.
Yeah.
Great way to end a fight. Forgot about the kid who was just standing there.
Yeah.
And is a bit sorry, actually, that he forgot about the kid. The kid just runs away. And Sorin's trying to tell the dragon, you know, I want to be your friend, everything's going to be okay. And then they get caught.
Yeah.
With these, like, slingshot things.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call them.
Yeah, slingshot with three
crystals.
Glittery stone thingies.
Yeah, they're like these yellow lights. Crystals.
Yeah.
Glowing.
Yeah.
Don't know. And, yeah, they get caught. Oops.
Oops. And he gets put into the pit of despair.
He does. With the drake.
Yeah.
Together. Which seems a bit scary.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's big feelings time with Ez and Callum. And Ez is talking about Rayla. But it turns out Callum's more upset about being used by Aravos as a puppet, which I kind of forgot about.
yeah, totally.
Of course he's going to be upset about that. Yeah. That was really traumatic. And Then he does talk about Rayla a bit, and he said he was just so happy to see her, but he was really mad and he can't let it go. But Ezrin says something really nice, that lots of things are hard, like magic, but you figured that out, didn't you? And Callum says, yeah, but somehow relationships seem harder. And Bait agrees.
Yeah.
Bait gives a grumpy... yeah.
Grumpy nod.
Sometimes relationships are just the hardest.
Yeah.
Even if you're going through other trauma and stuff. It's all very emotional.
Yeah. But, you know, everyone's minds is working differently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about what happened to you in the past, like used by as a puppet, then you put aside something else, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Callum's dealing with a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But okay. It's good that they talk about.
Yeah, it's nice that they had their little relationship development moments and kind of catching up on how everybody's doing. It's not just like, let's go on this adventure, and it's like, chug, chug, chug.
Everyone is happy and fine.
Yeah.
All the time, yeah.
Okay, so shall we move on to Clary and Viren?
I called it the evil gang, but
the evil gang?
Yeah. We have the drag gang, we have the evil gang.
Okay, the evil gang. But Terry doesn't seem so evil.
Yeah, okay. Half evil. Yeah, we find out that the mysterious being, or the messenger of Aroros, is also actually funny, because... it spits everyone in the face with some ooze, which is super interesting for Terry. And they also try to figure out a name for this being. And the first one, Sparklepuff, is not dignified enough. So now it's Sir Sparklepuff.
Much better.
Much better. Much more dignified.
Yeah.
For this goose-spitting homunculus. And Terry is so interested by this ooze that he creates something out of it with a little bit of dirt, a bit more ooze, and swirl it just so. It's perfect.
It's nice. He talks to the ooze as well. You are perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
It's living.
You're my precious.
It looks a bit golem-like, the creature, huh? Like, yeah. The way it moves and stuff. So Terry's very happy playing around, and then we get the homunculus is trying to communicate with them and is doing like gestures with its hands and stuff, and Claudia's like, yeah, it's like that game, that party game, word hands, otherwise known as charades. And a lizard in a hat, and I immediately was like, dragon in a mountain, maybe? But
yeah,
we know more than they do at this point. Yeah, and then it becomes Picturama or like Pictionary, and it looks very much like a lizard with a hat.
Or maybe a dragon in a hat,
or a dragon in a hat,
yeah,
or a dragon,
yeah.
Under a mountain, which Viren gets.
At the end. But they are so happy with figuring out that it's a lizard in a hat.
Yeah.
So like...
A lizard in a hat! That makes so much sense! It helps us so much. Not really. Yeah. And the goo gets named Goofy Goo.
Yeah. It's the funnest substance known to man or elf.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. And also Sir Sparklepuff likes it.
He does.
Yeah.
Sir Sparklepuff has like a little cheekiness. It's also a bit silly.
Yeah.
Which totally. Kind of, it's also been made by Claudia, so it kind of makes sense that it's got a bit of her sense of humor or something. But maybe she's just been talking to the chrysalis the whole time. And it's like absorbed. Absorbed Claudia's sense of humour, which is nice.
Totally.
Alright, should we move on?
Yeah.
To Lux Aurea. where we have Amaya, and she's checking Gran over, which is really cute. I really like how Amaya, like, when she hasn't seen Gran for a while, she's always, like, looking at him and checking that he's doing all right.
Yeah.
Very physical, very cute.
But we also see, before this happening, or while it's happening, we see still humans and elves, they still pick on each other. You know, when they stand next to each other, they, you know,
they would fight jostling, a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. It's really subtle, but
yeah,
it's still.
Yeah, there's a lot of little subtle visual things going on.
Yeah, exactly.
There was also this moment, so after Glenn explains what happened with Lucia and Jonas, he says, surely things will get better from now on, you know? And in that moment I looked and there were a lot of sideways glances between, like, the elves and the humans standing there and stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes you have to watch, like, really carefully. Feel like sometimes when I'm taking notes and stuff that I look away for a second and then I miss something really important.
I also pause. Yeah. So, because it happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and Maya then explains to Lucia that she should stay in the tent and stay protected because Lucia just wants to go back to her own tent. But Maya actually physically sits her back down and says, no, you should stay here, because she might not be safe. Which I think is a smart move, because there's a lot of very angry elves out there, I think. But Lucia keeps saying, all I did was put out a candle.
She really downsizes the issue, you know? It's, come on.
Yeah.
That could have been better.
Yeah, definitely. And you'd think that you would realize that it's not just a candle.
Exactly.
It escalated as it did, you know. Okay, so that's it for this episode, or for this chapter. I've got overarching themes is the title, obviously, the Great Gates, relationship moments and starting a new adventure. Yeah, there's lots of relationship stuff in this one, with the heroes and also with the relationship between the humans and the elves and stuff. I don't know.
Speaking about the gates, the Great Gates, I've seen the gate on the Storm Spire. There's also a gate, and maybe this is also a Great Gate. And also Amator Gate, of course. You know, the huge door where Ezran knocks. And maybe the gate to the Drakewood, you know?
Yeah.
Like going into the forest.
Yeah.
Maybe like
opening new doors.
Yeah.
Going new places.
So physical gates and then also new adventure gate and relationship gates, like closed gates at the moment.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. I like it. Very meta. Cool.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of trivia things. The guardians of the Great Gates to the mountain were originally supposed to be voiced by Aaron Ahaz and Justin Richmond, the creators, but they decided to leave it to the professionals, apparently. And the reference of the Dragang was a nod to the fan name based on Team Avatar, like the gang, G-A-A-N-G as well. So, yeah, they're always throwing in those little things.
Tiny bits.
And also the goop is supposedly a reference to Flubber as well.
That was my first thought when I saw this.
Yeah.
Because it so looked like Flubber and I love this movie.
Yeah. And our beloved Robin Williams.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Flubber's alive in the film, right? So it's kind of, that he's talking to it. You're perfect.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the last episode we did. You're breathtaking.
Yeah. Totally.
Chapter 6, The Drakewood.
this time we don't have a lot of the evil gang.
Mm-hmm.
Only at the end, we see Claudia shortly. And we only have Luxoria and the dragon.
All right, let's start with the dragon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so Sorin is still in the pit of despair and wants to befriend
with
the dragon. With the drake, I don't know.
The drake, yeah.
And maybe they got off on the wrong foot, or claw, or talon.
Talon, yeah. I think drakes are this kind of dragon, little dragons, yeah. I think. Yeah.
If you translate it, so I looked it up, and it's a male duck, maybe, apple in German.
Mm-hmm. A drake, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, he's still in trouble with the drake riders, and then we don't
see him for ages.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then we with Rayla, etc.
Yeah.
And actually, when the scene begins, there's a bird, there's a bluebird, one of the ibis bluebirds on a tree, and I found it really, almost brought a little tear to my eye that ibis is around.
Still protecting them.
Yeah. And
wow. Yeah. I didn't see it.
Mm. Yeah. It was just right at the beginning. And the cuddle monkey, I noticed, so Rayla and the cuddle monkey are just, Stella, are just waking up. And in the subtitles, because Stella apparently makes a noise or something, she's also referred to as cuddle monkey, not Stella.
Yeah.
I found that kind of funny.
Yeah.
That I thought cuddle monkey was just like a random, like, oh, you're a little cuddle monkey, you know, like a little nickname, and not a real name. But yeah,
I stumbled also about it because I also watched with subtitles,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, didn't it have a name?
Yeah, Stella.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops.
Okay.
But it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And Ez jumps up and starts climbing a tree, which is a bit weird, until we realize that it's because Sim is on the way.
Yeah.
And crashes into him and they fall on the floor together in a bundle.
Actually, Ezrin is a spider, by the way.
Ezrin is a spider?
Yeah. Because how he climbs the tree looks exactly like an insect, you know?
You're right, yeah. It's quite spider-like.
So easily and fast. Come on.
Just needs four more legs. And
There were no branches at all, something.
Just shimmied up, didn't there? Yeah. Yeah, it was very funny. And Sim snuck out of the storm spire to came and help them, to come and help them.
Oh.
And Rayla has a like sarcastic panic moment. No need to worry about how to get to Rex Igneous or that we've lost Sorin, because the Dragon Queen's gonna kill us anyway.
Exactly. And then we see that Sim wants to be the eyes of Ezrin. That
worst
reminded
idea ever.
But
sorry.
But it reminded me a little bit of the Three-Eyed Raven in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having like an animal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to say, I knew this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Told you.
Like, send the baby dragon flying over a forest that you know is full of dragon hunters. Like, no.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Ez tastes a butterfly.
That's funny that they have such a strong connection that also the taste gets transferred or something.
Apparently for the first time.
Yeah. I don't know. Did they do this before?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
And because Ez said he didn't expect it.
Yeah. Also, only if Sim wants to.
Mm-hmm.
It's working.
Yeah, true. Yeah. That looks good. So Ez can't just sneakily have a peek at what Zim's doing without Zim's permission.
Yeah.
That's very good. I wonder if it works. Yeah, it probably works the same the other way as well.
I'm not sure.
Can Zim see out of Ezrin's eyes?
Because Ezrin is this animal speaking person? Not sure.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because we've had moments before where Ez is seen through Zim's eyes with the flying, when he was trying to teach him to fly, like, from a distance. And then there was this scene ages ago, and he was sitting on somebody's shoulders, on Corvus's shoulders, and he was running around trying to get Zim
to
fly.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it's...
maybe it's only one way.
No, no, maybe it's in this kind of relationship, it's both ways.
Yeah?
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe, probably. Let's say yes.
Yeah. Also, if other animals can talk to Esrin, and vice versa.
It makes sense that it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, so the dragon hunters, they're wanting to catch Zim, obviously. We see their village from above. Mm-hmm. It's got like little houses with thatched roofs.
The village. Exclamation marks.
The village, why?
Yeah, because it's just two houses.
It's just a few houses, yeah. But I was thinking there's probably more hidden under the trees, and we just see like a little bit. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not very big.
Yeah.
A tiny village, a hamlet, let's say. So yeah, they see that, and then these hunters come out. Catch me that little blue zapper. And they're Earthblood elves, and they have this Australian accent as well, like Terry, which is funny.
And we don't know the names yet, so in the subtitles it's just Ryder 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's the same guy that Sorin was fighting with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there was three chasing Zim, and they knock him out of the sky. Yeah, and then we go to Raylam, and they're fighting, because Raylam's like, I knew this was a bad idea, and Callum's like, why didn't you tell me it was a bad idea? And Ezrin's just like, come on, work together. You're the High Mage of Catullus, and you're the Dragon Guard. I'm sure we can figure this out.
And they're the real reason that Zim is still here at all.
Yeah.
And they're in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Callum has a think for a minute, and then does Stratum Caligo, which is a mist, to give some cover and give them a chance of finding Zim before the Dragon Hunters do.
This translates to better fog.
Okay. And yeah, I also noticed when they were looking for Zim then, the dragon hunters, these slingshot things that they caught Sorin and the other dragon with, they also use them to kind of command the dragons. They spin them around and they glow more. They also seem to be some sort of like giving some sort of cues to the dragons, like, okay, it's time to move.
Yeah. But also, we see shortly this young boy, or rider, uses a stone to light up the path.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe the same material as the slingshot thingies.
I think so too. Yeah. I had the same thought that this crystal's important to them and has some sort of magic in it as well. So, Rayla distracts them by leaping through the trees and being amazing, like she is.
Uses her keen moonshadow skills.
And bait flashes, which she's great at.
Yeah.
It's a good combination. Yeah, and then the kid finds Zim before they do. And I don't know if you found that as well, the kid had a really unexpected voice. I was expecting the kid to have, like, a much higher-pitched voice or something, but it has this, like, he has a lower-pitched voice. And he's sorry he didn't realise that it was the Dragon Prince. And you can eat me if you want to, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's called Nathan.
Exactly. And also then we get introduced to the other person, Valon, the older Drake Rider.
Mm-hmm.
And also the meanest drake in the forest, which gets put into the pit of despair with Sauron, is called Scarmaker.
Mm-hmm. Renamed.
Squeaky!
Squeaky! Best name.
Yeah, best name. Yeah.
Yeah. I find it funny when they're explaining, when Nathan is explaining like, okay, they're in the pits of despair, and then you just see their faces, like Ezra and Callum and Rayla, all just like, oh god, the pit of despair. Of course it's the pit of despair.
But also the path to the entry of Rex Igneous cave or whatever is even worse than the pit in the Mount of the Despair.
Yeah, the path of despair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with Anthan with their, as their guide, it will work out because he knows a lot of secrets and can help them.
Yeah, Nathan seems like a cool little...
Yeah, he's also on the good side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, when Nathan says, in our village, you know, we have to catch a drake to go into adulthood or whatever, as a sign of being ready. And he also said, like, oh, I just can't do it, you know? So... seems like Nathan also has a good heart.
Yeah. And then we also see Sauron again riding on Squeaky. He took off his armor because it was flashing her and gave her the name because she likes to get tickled.
Maybe. Yeah.
And she makes squeaky noises, so obviously the name is Squeaky.
That's really nice. And he's wearing pink pajamas.
I didn't notice. I just noticed the grey shirt or something.
No, it's all pink.
It's all pink?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe my monitor is wrong.
He seems to wear, like, yeah, pink pajamas under his armor. Okay,
yeah. Maybe also, you know, a boxer shirt with tiny hearts on it.
Like, yeah, it was just, like, all long-sleeved. And all pink and with little, I don't know if it was flowers or something, but it was really nice.
I thought it was, you know, the grey shirt with scratches on it.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I didn't notice the colour at all.
You didn't notice and your subconscious filled in the gaps.
Yeah, no, maybe also my monitor because it's already late and I have this program called Redshift. It's already red-ish. And then... I don't see the colors correctly or something.
So it turned the pink into something else. Yeah. No, it was definitely pink.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Nice choice, Sauron. Yeah. Very nice pajamas.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And so, then, yeah, we at the end of this chapter, we see Claudia.
There she is.
Yeah. Picking up something. I didn't see it.
Mushrooms. But, don't know what... Scarily close to the hero's camp.
Yeah.
Just like randomly there.
That was also, you know, fast. You know, they got the hint of
Sir Sparkle.
Sparklepuff?
Ah, yes.
Of there's a dragon in the mountain and then they're in the Drakefoot.
Yeah.
Like, what? How?
They must have been kind of on their way there.
Also close. Yeah, already. Maybe.
I mean, they had been following Sir Sparklepuff.
For a while, yeah.
For a while. It was just the first time Sir Sparklepuff had tried to say anything to them.
Hmm.
But yeah, there they are, all together. Everything's connected.
True.
So, Lux Aurea?
Yeah.
Janai puts on her crown... And her brother comes in, sons first, which seems to be an old Sunfire elf greeting. Kareem is stuck in the past, as usual, and Kareem talks about how much they've lost. He thinks that Janai needs to show the people that he understands the pain that they're going through.
Yeah.
And Amaya walks in. Am I interrupting something? She asks. Yeah, and... I don't know, there's this interaction then with Amaya and Janai with all of the stuff, and Amaya's tone's also a bit off, like, because Amaya repeats this, like, yeah, it's a candle, you know? And, yeah, Kareem's there as well, and then Amaya compares it to blowing out a birthday candle.
It's like, yeah, but she also doesn't know it. She just was introduced to this issue.
Yeah.
And she also doesn't take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, but later we see something else developing.
She makes up for it later.
Yeah.
It was just a bit like...
Oh, yeah.
Careful. Yeah. Careful. It's a big deal.
But also then that's maybe the reason also that Janai calls out the Tribunal of the Six Horns, advised by Karim.
Yeah. Sorry, we had a short interruption there from the toddler who's sleeping in the next room. So you were saying that the Six Horns, that it put pressure on Janai to do...
No, not the tribunal, but Karim's words put mm-hmm. pressure on Janai and the action of Amaya, maybe. And that's why she calls out this tribunal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah. The Six Horns are the most esteemed generals, and also we see a little bit of secret agreement or nodding between Karim and one of the Six Horns,
mm-hmm.
Which we get introduced as Miyana later.
Ah, okay, I didn't get the name.
Yeah, and I think it's just Karim has all of the Six Horn on his side. So they vote unisono.
Yeah, like it seems like he's rigged the tribunal to go his way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So also he holds a speech, mm-hmm. Saying something about destroying the secret the sacred rite, and just being not cool about it.
Yeah, he wasn't cool. The thing is, he...
No. Janai. Lucia.
Ah, that Lucia wasn't being cool about it. Yeah. Yeah, and the thing was, he explains quite well about the... He explains properly about the exactly. the candle then in that moment. And that's really good.
Yeah.
But then he turns around and says, yeah, but ignorance is no excuse. Even though he just said, humans are guests and do not know our ways. And it's a little bit like... Yeah, they're guests. They don't know your ways, so teach them, you know?
Yeah.
Don't try and execute one of them because they didn't know.
Yeah,
he's just going the wrong way about it.
Yeah. But also, then Amaya, she came to defend Lucia, but now she knows that she's not innocent. But also, death is not the answer. We should learn and grow from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so both talked about this issue, and then the Six Horn decides, and Lucia is guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But Janai has the last word. She is no more shedding blood for justice. They should rebuild, but together, and just freeze her from her police thingies.
Handcuffs.
Yeah, handcuffs, exactly. And commands her to build a shrine
for the soul candles.
Yeah, exactly. So that they can burn without disturbance.
Yeah, that was nice. And then Lucia said, it will be the greatest work of my life.
Yeah.
And she knows how much it means that she survived this.
Yeah, she's super happy about it.
And
she's crying, but she's of course relieved and happy and wants to help.
And taking it seriously.
Yeah, like, exactly.
This is a big thing.
Yeah.
And not only is she going to do it, like she's not doing it begrudgingly. She's like, no, I'm going to make this something great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really cool. It's a really nice, really good outcome of this kind of horrible thing that happened.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to what Amaya said, because I really liked it that she said that yes, Lucia was callous and careless and cruel, and so was I. And she kind of acknowledges it to Karim, you know, with the birthday candle thing. Because she didn't realize. But yeah, she wants compassionate justice, because we gain nothing if we throw away the chance to learn and grow. Okay, so then we learn a bit about the Sunforge orb.
Mm-hmm.
This big, powerful light that was in Luxoria. which got kind of tainted by Erebos.
Or Viren. I can't remember.
And Viren together.
Yeah.
and takes Karim to this this tree, which has a sun seed inside it, which grows until it will be as powerful as the Great Orb was. But it takes centuries to grow, and they're not going to see, you know, they're not going to have the benefits of that in their lifetimes. Like, they're not going to have the power that they had before. But it's something that they and their children and their children's children can grow and work towards. And it's really beautiful, actually.
Yeah, like, totally.
This, okay, they can take care of this for the future, you know. Yeah, it's really nice. Karim obviously doesn't get it and is like, well, if it's not going to be in our lifetime, it's just a waste. Like, it doesn't seem to get it, basically.
I had the complete opposite impression.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he got it and then tells Miana about it, that everything works out fine. Okay.
Sorry to...
Yeah.
Damn. Pull the rug out from under your feet. No, he's not happy about it because, you know, he's kind of selfish and wants things to benefit him
directly
and the people right now. And actually what he says to his girlfriend person, Miana, is that he wants to finish Janai's chapter in history.
Okay, then I completely misunderstood it.
Yeah, okay. It was really like a threat no, we need to end Janai's reign.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's bad.
Yeah.
I see.
Hardcore stuff. So a bit like he seems to want to incite a coup.
I see.
All right. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think also.
So I don't have any overarching themes for this episode, for this chapter. But yeah, the title is The Drakewood and it is all in The Drakewood apart from the Luxoria stuff.
With lots of drakes and maybe also Claudia in the wood. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
It's just
this wood.
It's... I don't think it's so deep, this title, but yeah. I think we've kind of covered everything. I actually, in my opinion, I liked this episode better than the last episode. It went by really quickly, and it felt like the last chapter was quite chatty and relationship-y, and this one really moved the plot forward more.
Yeah. Also, they had a lot of... scene changes.
Yeah.
You know, it was not just like one big stretch of the Drake gang or Luxoria, but...
jumping between...
Yeah, exactly. The two strings or branches or whatever.
Yeah. And also like lots of exposition, like new stuff, like the big dragon gates, these new... the guardians, the characters and stuff. Yeah, and seeing this... Earthwood Elf Village, we haven't seen anything like that before.
No.
And these new, we didn't really get to know them, but like new characters and Nathan. And I find it interesting now we have this task now, right? They are looking for Erebos's prison and they're like, okay, now we have to go to the Pit of Despair. Now we have to go along the Path of Despair. Now it's like unlocking the next levels. It's a little bit, it feels a bit like gaming or something.
Quest.
It's a quest. Yeah. It's like, okay, you've got to do these things to get to there. And I don't see it as a negative thing necessarily, but there's like a clear path of like, okay, that's what the rest of this season is going to be. And I don't know, possibly the rest of the seasons, if this is now like all about Erebos.
Sure.
Like they changed the name of the show, didn't they, to The Mystery of Erebos. That seems like, okay, now this is, the path is laid out.
In every season, another riddle.
Yeah.
Like another archdragon with another riddle.
And I'm not so sure if I see that as a positive or a negative. I mean, it makes it kind of... it simplifies it a little bit that there's such a kind of clear path. And I guess, yeah, we've got the heroes and the anti-heroes, like, going for the same thing in a parallel line, maybe.
Also the book called Earth. So we have the Earth Blood Dragons and the Arch Dragon of Earth.
Yeah.
So makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the next books, but maybe it's the same.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Moving on with the different elements, the different, what are they called in this, not elements, but primal sources. Yeah. Like, seeing it like this, I hope that they manage to keep it interesting, though, and it's not like a 90s TV shows where it's like, okay, this episode, we're going to solve this problem, and then that's solved, and then to the next, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hope they keep it more interesting, yeah.
We have how many seasons in front of us? Three? Two? Yeah. The fourth is already done, so we have five, six, and seven.
Yeah, three more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be good. I mean, it is... It is consistently good, but I want greatness.
But the next season is coming out shortly.
Yeah, it's true. It's coming out very soon. Jelly tots? Do you have any jelly tots?
A lot more in the first chapter. So the big guardians are saying that it's a sacred duty for them, and they're saying this for 500 years now. But is it really guarding it or just open and close? And
it's a good question, because the Dragon Queen demands it and they just do it. But she is the Dragon Queen.
Exactly. And her argument is really very logical. And maybe that's it.
I think we said most of them.
Yeah. I had also protecting the turf. You know, the Drake Riders are protecting the turf. Sounds a little bit like the pop style.
Ah, also. Yeah. We had all the lizard in the hat things, and
true.
Everything.
Yeah.
We're letting you down on the jelly tarts, guys. Sorry about that.
Sauron's enemy is the first villain in his adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The first villain. Run or fly,
Skedoodle. And maybe Sauron is just finding a rhyme for legendary heroics.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's it, I think.
Sauron, he's just our comedian.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the credits.
Yeah. In the first chapter, we see Sir Sparklepuff with a monocle, butler outfit, and a hat, like a cylinder.
Yeah. I think it's to kind of highlight this Sir Sparklepuff.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not just a Sparklepuff, he's Sir Sparklepuff.
Much more dignified.
Then we see Terry with the goofy goo person that... Like, made it into a person, and it's got glasses on. And this is exactly the poster for Flubber, the film from 1997.
Yeah.
There's the definite direct reference then.
Yeah. We see Court Jester Sauron.
Then we see the trippy-up thingy that the dragon hunters use, the
slingshot thing
with crystals.
We see the lizard in a party hat.
A real lizard in a party hat, yeah. Then we see Terabium and Chert with a rock friend.
Ah, I thought the one guardian swapped the face somehow and held it down up as a stone.
Mm.
I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. It was with a rock face, and it reminds me of something, but I don't know what. There's something popular. There's a film or something where a kid has like a rock friend. It's definitely a reference to that, but I can't. It's like on the tip of my brain, but I can't remember what it is. I will try and find out.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, then in the second chapter we have Scarmaker or Squeaky, I think.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the happy, sad, masks, like this theater masks, but it's the Six Horn masks.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of an interesting commentary on, like,
The birthday candle and
happy inside. Ah, no, I thought more like it's more like that the tribunal is like a theater.
Ah, yeah, could also be
that it's you know,
yeah,
all about how it's being perceived.
And also the, you know, the actors are in the middle,
mm-hmm,
and then the people, the guests or the visitors are in the ranks behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be, yeah, like a theater. Yeah, yeah, the next one is the sun seed in a tree. And it looks like the Tree of Time in Avatar with Watu.
Mm, it does.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah, 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 I see that.
Yeah.
Then we see a younger Sorin with a dragon teddy having a cuddle.
Yeah, teddy dragon.
Yeah.
Squeaky. The Crown of Chennai in the next one.
Then we see Nathan holding onto a tree branch, dropping his crystal and about to fall. And it's also a direct reference to Uncharted.
Yeah.
2, which is, yeah, it's a computer game. But it's, they're completely just taking the piss out of themselves because it's the Uncharted forest.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah.
We see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it.
That's it. Any other thoughts on these chapters before we go?
Not really.
Shuffle, shuffle.
I think I'm done with my notes and everything.
We're done. Okay. Yeah. Then, thanks for listening. We are News from the Breach, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you again soon, yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Did it work? Did it work? Did it work? You're my precious.